Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
And the Golden State Warriors now find themselves trailing for the first time in the best of seven series with the Minnesota Timberwolves, down 2-1. They have lost now in back-to-back games to the T-Wolves, losing in game two out at the Target Center, and then tonight, just moments ago, getting beaten once again by that of Minnesota in a hard-fought contest where the Golden State Warriors, especially Jimmy Butler and Jonathan Kuminga for that matter as well, leaving it all out on the floor. They fall by 5 points, 102-97. So now it becomes, all of these, I think, are sort of quote-unquote must-win games, but certainly you get a feel of desperation that the Warriors need to win coming up on Monday. It's a quick turnaround once again, just one day off. The 48 hours before you tip it once again as the Warriors looking to even the series before things switch and go back, obviously, to Minnesota in another victory. As people like to point at, could stretch this thing to a game six, which would mean they would play basketball a week from Sunday, and that could, and I gently underline the word could, mark the return of one Steph Curry. In this one, as the Warriors once again lose it 102-97, the big story was Anthony Edwards, 36 points, playing in 44 minutes, 28 of those 36 coming in the second half. Also, Julius Randle was just, he was efficient. He was good tonight. The triple-double, he had 24, 10, and 12. Julius Randle has been one of the two storylines. You know what you're getting out of Anthony Edwards, but really, Julius Randle has been this sort of basketball player in the latter part of the season, especially in the postseason against that of the Los Angeles Lakers, as he helped propel the T-Wolves to the five-point win again tonight, 102-97, as the Warriors getting it from primarily two guys, and it was Jimmy Butler. You know, Butler had talked about, we talked about it earlier today, does Butler have, you know, does he have that 40 bullet in the chamber? And he nearly pulled it out tonight as Jimmy Butler was nothing short of amazing. Butler finished with 33, played 43 minutes. So he's logging the minutes. And as we talked about, the quick turnaround for a guy 35 years of age, can you get this sort of game from Jimmy Butler in a pivotal now game four? Or did he leave it all out there? Was tonight the night that Jimmy Butler gave you everything he had to get that one victory to potentially push this series to six games? Cannot talk about this game without Jonathan Kuminga. If you ever listen to me, I've been a big Jonathan Kuminga fan, although I certainly don't begrudge Steve Kerr. Listen, Kerr is going to be a Hall of Famer, and the reason why he's one of the greatest coaches to ever do it is because he knows his players much better than I do, as well as basketball, generally speaking. And so the Jonathan Kuminga situation was always sort of a head-scratch. It was frustrating. And J.K. finally getting an opportunity, you could see that the worm had turned in the last game where he had the 18 points and he was efficient. And he talked about afterwards having confidence, and that clearly carried over tonight where Jonathan Kuminga played one of his best games as a Golden State Warrior, certainly his best game of the postseason. He finished with 30 points in 36 minutes, 11 of 18 shooting. So the Golden State Warriors getting primarily the majority of their points from two guys, and then 34 points and 32% shooting from the rest of the team, including Buddy Hield. And Buddy was good. Buddy gave you the 14 points, but you need other players to step up. You cannot be this reliant on Jimmy Butler and Jonathan Kuminga. And especially with Jimmy Butler, and again, at age 35, can he do this again playing, you know, close to the entire game? I mean, he sat all but of 1 minute of the entire contest. 43 minutes logged by Jimmy Butler on the huge evening. The 7 rebounds to go along with a 7 assist. I do think, not to be critical of Butler, that would be ridiculous. I think towards the latter part of the game, there were stretches where Jimmy Butler didn't finish at the rim. I think there were key possessions late in the contest where Butler turned it over. There was a rash of plays where Butler made some errors. It's certainly not pointing a finger at him. You don't have an opportunity in this game if it's not for Butler. And this was, by the way, this is playoff Jimmy. We talk about the moniker, playoff Jimmy. Well, there it is. This is what he does. And he gave you every opportunity to win tonight. I do think that, and not to be the attorney, the agent for Jonathan Kuminga, but I do think that looking for Kuminga late in the game and getting him even more involved, I think is something that they should consider going forward, because Jonathan Kuminga is showing that he can be the guy. We were talking all day long. We've been talking ever since the loss in game two. Who's going to pick up the scoring slack? That's not Jimmy Butler. Is it going to be a collaborative effort from some of the youngsters? Is it going to be Moody? Is it going to be Podziemski? Is it going to be GP2? The answer to those questions are an emphatic no. Moody disappeared again. Quinton Post is becoming a non-factor. And while Podziemski continues to be very good defensively, he is giving you absolutely nothing on the offensive end. The Golden State Warriors lose it once again, 102-97. They fall now a game back in the best of seven. It's the first team to four, and the T-Wolves are now halfway there, leading the series at 2-1. I do want to open up the phone lines. We'll take your calls for the next hour or so. As long as you continue to call and want to talk about the contest, I am here for you. The Warriors lose. We want to open things up, heading out to Vacaville, and just give me Javier, who wants to chime in on the Warriors' loss tonight. Javier, how are you, and welcome to the show.
How you doing today, sir? So, the only thing that I wanted to make prevalent, man, you know, they say in the NBA, you know, you live and die by the three. Well, I think for the Warriors, like I said earlier today, you know, you live and die by the green. And however Draymond Green plays, and the Draymond Green that comes to compete tonight is going to be ultimately the factor in how you win, lose, or the subsequent, you know, result of the game. And the most pertinent point is you can't have your defensive stalwart score 2 points on 1-for-4 from the field in 35 minutes. But most importantly, like, the way that he is the most important player to the Warriors, I thought of obviously Steph, but when he's not there available, he has to be not play a perfect game, but he has to be in most tip-top, you know, offensive, you know, just, you know, distributor, a defensive stalwart, and not get into foul trouble. You literally watch the foul that he had when he shielded off Randle when Kuminga had that cup, you know, easy putback and got the and-one. They challenged that, reversed the call. Then Draymond runs into Gobert for no reason to get his fifth foul on the opposite end late, if not late in the third quarter, early in the fourth. Steve Kerr challenges that, loses that challenge. That's fourth and fifth foul respectively. That changes the totality of the game. Then he comes back in with 3:43, or he's 3:42 left in the game. He has an easy putback that he tries to challenge and contest. Yo, I'm not saying it's a meaningless three or a meaningless two-point basket, but just play for the next series or play for the next possession. You gave up the two, but you sit there and try to contest it. You get the foul. Now you're out for the last 3:30 of the game. That flips the totality and turns the tables on what they play and how they play defensively. And you're telling me right now, last 3:30, your best defensive player not on the court didn't change the outcome of that, at least defensively? That is, it's just Draymond. Like, you, like literally, they say in the NBA, in today's game, you live and die by the three. Nah, man. For the Warriors, you live and die by the green. Whichever green you get, whatever Draymond comes to compete that day, is going to ultimately dictate how they play. That fourth and fifth foul, look at both those calls were challenged. Both those calls were the deciding factor in him staying in the game and him fouling out the game before the game was over. I think ultimately it's not his fault per se, but he cost the Warriors on the defensive end not being available, not with his calls or not with his play, but him not being available. And we know the best ability serves availability. We literally have just watched the Warriors squander a 7-9 point lead in third quarter, going up 2-1 with seven game series with Steph out. I don't see them winning three the next four. I can see them winning two. It's just going to be in every way, shape, or form as Warriors fans. We see it, and I see they can win two, but if Steph doesn't, you know, heaven forbid, not move on to come back and or rush it and rush back from injury and he's not fully ready, can he come back in game five? I don't think he's going to be really completely in whole, his whole self and be wholesome. But he runs back to from the injury now, he feels more pressure. They get the next one at home, then it's 2-2. Then it's 3-2. Can Steph really lead a two-game win streak? And he's coming back from a hamstring, grade one? I don't know.
Thanks, Javier. Yeah, that's a good point. When it comes to Draymond Green, who fouled out, by the way, with 4:38 remaining in the game and the Warriors down just two. And then, of course, we know what happened. They took full advantage with Draymond out of the game. Draymond, I know you referred to Draymond's point total where he had just the one field goal and it was a layup in close. Draymond is, listen, anything you get from Draymond offensively, like in game one where he gave you the four threes, and I know that without Steph, everybody has to contribute. But for Draymond Green, if he does what it is that he does in terms of locking up Gobert, staying on Julius Randle, pestering and helping out as a help defender, if Ant-Man gets a step or beats his man to the bucket. That's what you want out of Draymond Green, but he cannot. And I'll reiterate this. You cannot foul out. And Javier is right. You have to be available, especially when Steph, and you're already shorthanded, you can't foul out of the game. Were there some questionable calls? Did you need to review some? Certainly. Yes, but you can't. You have to be on the floor without Steph Curry, which is why going back to game two, where he's on the verge of getting rung up with his second technical and thrown out of that contest, he just has to be smarter than that. This isn't I don't want to open up a show going after Draymond Green. It's just underlying his importance to this team. And with Steph out, now it's time for, you know, Kendrick Perkins talked about this in the pregame show. It's time for Draymond to do something without Steph. Be the leader of this basketball team. Lead this team to a victory without Steph. Because there are a lot of people out there that are like, listen, you've been the benefactor of playing with the greatest team. If not you, it's the Michael Jordan Chicago Bulls back in the day with the Splash Brothers and Iguodala and Kevin Durant. And that's how you made your mark. Well, this is an opportunity to lead a team without Steph. Lead a team where you're depleted. And you got to be available. And all the nonsense, you've got to put that away. And he's so vital to the success of that team. And he was doing a good job defensively, although Julius Randle did go out. Randle's just been, if you follow Julius Randle, the guy was terrible with Minnesota. It didn't fit after the big trade with Karl Anthony Towns during the offseason. Minnesota went to the Western Conference Finals a year ago, that blockbuster trade, because they didn't want to pay Kat. And so they bring in Julius Randle. He just was not on the same page with Anthony Edwards. And it just, you could see that the team was complete chaos. And now I think a lot of it after the injuries, Julius Randle is this sort of Julius Randle, the triple-double tonight, and has been very, very efficient. The Warriors lose it 102-97. They now fall 2-1 to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Right back after it, once again, you get a day off. And then on Monday, it's a pivotal game four. Not to apply, I know the must-win is when you're facing elimination, but the hell with that. It's a must-win game coming up on Monday. We continue with your phone calls off the Union City. Let me hear from Jordan. Jordan, what'd you think?
All right, good evening. How you doing tonight?
I'm good.
Good. So, yeah, real quick, because I called in actually after game two, and the whole thing was, you know, it's like, hey, I think Steve Kerr used this as like a feel-out game to figure out rotations without Steph. And the thing for me is, well, when I looked at this game tonight, there's nothing that you could have picked up on from using that. Like, did you figure out Jonathan Kuminga is a good basketball player and he's athletic and you need athleticism? No, because we all knew that. Did you figure out Kevon Looney can be physical with Gobert underneath and kind of help stymie what he does down there? No, we already knew that. So I still think that, again, with this team, right, like if you look at it from the Timberwolves standpoint, Timberwolves feel good. Now they've reversed home court advantage right back to them, and like you already said, you don't know or think if Steph is going to be back. You can't coach this or think of this as if Steph is going to be back. And don't get me wrong, like I'm not the person that, you know, some people in this fan base are like, I think Steve Kerr is an amazing coach. Like I know some people in the Warriors fan base don't see it, but I think he's great. But I still think that with game two and how they managed that, if he did use that as a fill-out game, was still the wrong decision.
Thanks for the call, Jordan. Yeah, Steph Curry potentially could come back for game six. I don't think he's going to play in this series. I think you have to think about beating the T-Wolves without Steph Curry. Now, look, here's why there's a level of optimism and why I think that the door is slightly ajar. Minnesota won this game by 5 points. They won it by 5 points, and the Warriors got basically all of their offense from two guys. Nothing from a Brandon Podziemski. You got 14 from Buddy Hield, but you're not getting anything from the likes of Draymond Green offensively, GP2 offensively, Moses Moody offensively, and Quinton Post, and they won this game by 5 points. My point in all of that is that, and Minnesota's been this way all year long, and they sort of follow their leader, Anthony Edwards, and Edwards sometimes can mail it in. He was very good tonight. Once again, Anthony Edwards with 28 points in that second half as he finished with 36. But this is a team that does not execute and turns the ball over. This is a team that plays sometimes like a much younger, inexperienced team, despite the fact that they're not. And they will give you opportunities. Minnesota should not scare you. Minnesota will, they will give you a game. It's just a matter of whether the Warriors have enough firepower to take advantage. Do the Warriors have enough offense to score more than 100 points? They haven't scored more than 100 points in this series. And that's where this sort of begins and ends. Minnesota is not running away and hiding from you. In any of these victories, the Warriors cut that thing down to 7 last time out, as bad as they played. Tonight, they didn't have a 3 through the first 2 quarters. You got to go back 18 years the last time the Warriors did that in a postseason game. And yet, there they were with a lead. They led by as many as 7 in the second half. Minnesota's going to give you an opportunity. Minnesota should not scare you. This is not a team that is burying the Golden State Warriors and blowing them out by 25, 30 points. I mean, we dealt with that in a couple of losses to Houston. Minnesota will give you a shot. It's just a matter of whether the Warriors have enough to take advantage offensively. Continue with the phone calls. Let's get out to Milbrae. Hello, Eric. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, what's up, man? Just bitter for the Warriors. Jimmy was spectacular until that stretch there down the fourth quarter where he was non-existent. That can't happen, man. He's playoff Jimmy. This is a game where he should take over down the fourth quarter, just because Minnesota was trying to hand the Warriors the game there. It was a 2-point game down the stretch. You look at the final score, Minnesota, they struggled to really close out wins, and you're seeing why. They're still, Edwards is an elite player, but he tends to settle for you know, wide open jumpers instead of attacking the rim, where he's one of the best dunkers in the league. So if you're looking at his game, Podemski was non-existent. Draymond, you cannot foul out, man. That's inexcusable. So the Warriors' self-inflicted mistakes down the stretch there really took it a game, because the Warriors really should have put this game away. So if they lose a series, they're going to be looking back at this. So now they put themselves, even without Curry, in game 4 as a must-win. And the Warriors stick to their plan. I don't know what the hell they're doing from the fourth quarter going away from the dead, because Minnesota was not good down the stretch until the Warriors gifted that game. So I assume that Kerr is going to say, in fact, the plan, stay the course. Jimmy Butler's run the offense to him and let him create for us. Kuminga was spectacular too. And I want to see him continue to be that same guy, because they're going to need his production. And guys like Podemski, I don't know what the hell's going on. You cannot disappear like him. He was good in the second half. He really was impressive. But overall, this is a game the Warriors are going to be kicking themselves, letting it go, because they pretty much outplayed Minnesota there until the last couple of minutes of the fourth quarter there. So I hope game 4, they really regroup and play that safe at the end and close out strong, because this Minnesota team is not that great. It's good. They have good talent. Edwards is a rising superstar, but the Warriors, even without Curry, can really take it to them.
Yeah, thanks, Eric. And I think that when Gobert came off the floor and they try and go small, that's when Jimmy Butler just attacked. And Jimmy Butler was just, he was getting to the rim, and he was either getting fouled or he was beating DiVincenzo like a drum. But you're right. Listen, Butler was amazing tonight. You don't have a shot without Jimmy Butler. This was playoff Jimmy Butler. Once again, tonight, Jimmy Butler finishing with the 33 points in 43 minutes to go along with 7 rebounds and 7 assists. But down the stretch, as Eric just mentioned, he blew some layups, and he had some key turnovers. I just think in retrospect, now that maybe Jonathan Kuminga has created a little bit sense of security for the rest of the team, that Butler can now share that wealth, that Butler can look to get Kuminga involved late in the game. There was a lot of clear out, and understandably, they would go ISO with Jimmy, and you had Jonathan Kuminga standing in the corner, just clearing space so that Jimmy Butler could go to work. I think I'd just like to see Jonathan Kuminga get more involved. And Jimmy Butler has to feel confident in giving him the basketball down the stretch. Down the stretch, Butler was not good. Listen, the dude was gassed. And you don't have a chance, once again, without Butler. But I don't think that we can talk about the totality of his game without mentioning some of the key turnovers down the stretch and missing shots. Not missing shots, just shots, but missing some bunnies in close. Danville, is the location in Adrian's whole nod. Adrian, how'd you see it tonight? What's up, buddy?
Well, you know, I just like, I mean, right now I see you knocking Jimmy for a couple of things. Hey, Jimmy, come on. Jimmy played his ass off. Maybe he faltered a little bit at the end, you know, but hey, come on. You got Pods, who's, I mean, no show. You got Draymond. You know, everybody says, oh, defense here, defense there. What? No rebounds, six fouls, no points, you know. And then GP2, no points, no rebounds. Come on. You know, you need, you know, hey, listen, Jimmy Butler and Kuminga played their ass off. But it's just not those two guys.
No, you're right on.
Somebody else.
You're right on, Agent.
You need somebody else to come in.
I wish I could argue with you. You're right. Jimmy Butler played his ass off tonight. And it's nitpicking to sort of go after him and saying he turned the ball over, made some mistakes late in the contest. I hear you. But it is what it is. I mean, that did happen. But you don't have an opportunity to win. You don't have a lead. You're not even in this contest without Jimmy Butler. Butler was nothing short of amazing. He was incredible. Nick is hanging out in Berkeley. What's up, Nick? Welcome to the program.
Oh, man, they let this one get away, man. And playing all these extra games is going to add up. You know what I mean? If we could have got out of there in the fifth game, in the first series, you know, the sixth game, and then we just let these games go, man. And all these extra games is not going to help, you know, Draymond and get Curry back. You know what I mean? And I don't know if Curry's going to come back, man. I'm sure he'll play if we're tied going in, but I don't even know if we're going to make it that far, man. Because the Timberwolves, their center went psycho tonight, and they were bombing from three. They were just bombing threes like it was like practice. I don't know what we were doing. In the middle of the third quarter, we had some silly turnovers, and then we just kind of ho-hummed it, and they kept hanging around. We had a chance to put them away, and then all of a sudden, but in the fourth quarter, man, the referees. The game was intense by both teams. Referees did great the entire game until the third quarter. And then until the fourth quarter started. And then the fourth quarter started, and it was like, dude, their entire style of referee changed. I'm like, dude, what are you guys calling? Kuminga was in the paint, went up, and dude raked his arm across both of his forearms, and they don't even call that a foul, but they're calling these little ticky-tack reach fouls. I mean, give it to Edwards for going Dominique Wilkins on us, but I'm like, man, I mean, it's just ridiculous, man. I don't understand where like the whole game. The refs just took the game into their hands and decided we're going to call a foul every 55, 60 seconds, if that, maybe every 45 seconds. To be honest, I was like, man, what is going on? Like it was great until then, but the Warriors let this one slip away, man. And it's a bitter pill to swallow. We just got to keep battling and fight because there's a lot of good signs tonight. So hopefully we will make it without Curry up until he comes back.
Thanks, Nick. Appreciate it. Yeah, I just wonder whether that was the game. I just wonder whether Jimmy Butler and company realized that this is it. The stars are aligned. Kuminga's going off. I'm just going to go all out because this is the win. This is the win that we needed. This is the split. It's tonight. And then for them to play, and I specifically Jimmy Butler, to play 43 minutes, to play that well, and to be completely gassed and leave it all out there, I just wonder how much he's going to have of the tank when you got to turn things around and expect another performance like that out of Jimmy. And that's what you're going to need if you want a puncher's chance in game four. Was tonight the night that Jimmy Butler said, I'm leaving it all out because this is the win. This is it. We got a lead in the third quarter. Let's go get it. And then for it not to happen, now I just wonder how deflated they're going to be going into that game four. But again, I think if I was to give you any sort of optimism for Warrior fans out there, is that Minnesota should not scare you. Not what I've seen in the first three games of this series. They were ugly and bad in game one, and we thought, well, okay, maybe that's attributed to rust. They were better, certainly, in game two. But this is all without Steph Curry. I mean, every team has its leader. Denver's not Denver without Jokic. Oklahoma's not Oklahoma without SGA. I guess you take Tatum away from Boston, they're not as good. But when you remove Steph Curry, one of the five greatest or 10 greatest to ever do it, and the way he's been playing, and to see that the Warriors are still leading late in games and have a shot with Minnesota should tell you everything you need to know about the T-Wolves is that I think they're beatable. again, it just gets back to the Golden State Warriors, and does somebody not named Butler and now not named Kuminga can give you just something Pajemski, just something Moody, Post, just give me a couple of threes. Adams in San Francisco. Let's get to Adam, get his thoughts on tonight's loss.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I want to go back to kind of like the points that were kind of lost within the game in sense of a couple of things. TJD only getting 11 minutes when he was playing well. He was finishing at the rim. He was affecting shots, not blocking, but he was affecting shots. He only gets 11 minutes. Payton was not good defensively and obviously hasn't been good defensively this series. And if he's not going to contribute on the defensive end, his offensive side of the ball is not producing. Like, you need to get Moody more looks. You had mentioned, you know, guys not contributing and mentioning Moody. I have to defend him tonight specifically because he only got 3 minutes and he took no shots. It shows that he was a -7 in those minutes, but I honestly think he would have played better than Payton did defensively, and at least he has a more of a threat of a three. I also kind of wanted to give a hot take on the coaching and that, yes, Steve Kerr has been amazing throughout the playoffs, his career, everything. But to see what Kuminga did tonight was amazing. But then to tell me that he couldn't get any minutes in the previous series, giving those older guys more rest when you have a player like this, and now, you know, the Steph Curry injury was due to fatigue, and that series went 7 when you had a guy like Kuminga that could have maybe helped you close out that series sooner. So I put that on the coach. And, game 4 is a must-win. You go down 3-1 without Steph, you're done. Thanks for the time.
Adam, I was with you right up until you want to see more of Moses Moody. Brother, you know I love you. I just don't know what games you've been watching for the last week and a half. I hear you. Moses Moody, he's got a future in front of him. They just gave him a 2-year contract extension, but he's a guy who's playing his way out of that rotation. And the fact that he's actually getting any burn whatsoever surprises the hell out of me. The fact that he got 3 minutes of play. That's just a young player where the stage is too big. The lights are too bright. And it happens to younger players. It's happening to Pajemski. But the fact that Pajemski, who played more than 40 minutes tonight because he's giving you defense, and Pajemski is still making the basketball plays, Moody's becoming absolutely useless to Steve Kerr and the Golden State Warriors right now. Take another quick call. Is it Rokavi out in Alameda? Roque, what's on your mind, buddy?
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Hey, I just want to bring this up real quick here. You know, Kuminga doesn't get that much chance to play, okay? And he did good tonight and some previous game too. And Trace Jackson, how in the hell we don't see him a lot of time, playing time on him? Okay, you see him in first quarter. We don't see him in second quarter. You see him in third quarter. You don't see him in fourth quarter. What the hell is – I mean, they kept us in our game tonight, okay? And I'll be honest with you, and what made this really change is Green, when he got fouled out, that made everything different. So you got to put Trace Jackson back in there. And, oh, my God, Moody, he needs to go back to G-League, man. He's going to go back there. He's disappearing right now. He's not helping at all, okay? This Minnesota is beatable. We just lost by 5. We were in the game. My God, we could have had this game. You know, it's a coaching, too, but then again, you know what? It's the player, Podzinski. He's got to be more selective in there, and other players need to pick it up. But then again, I'm telling you, Kuminga and Jackson, they're the one who keep us in the game. They need to keep them in there. You know, it's different. It's different system and different lineup, different against each other. But tonight they were doing good. They just took him out in like 2 quarters of it. We'll see the next, fourth game? We'll see. Okay, we could have won this game. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it. Really quick, let's get out to Ryan in San Jose before we get to the break. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, guys. So I think we lost this game because at the start of the fourth, we were up 73-69, and then Kerr went with a small lineup where we had Gary Payton. I'm not going to run through them all, but his lineup was small. TJD needs more minutes. I'm going to defend Moody because he plays defense. He hustles just like Pajemski does, but Pajemski at 40 minutes a game. But I think we lost the game because we went small. Kerr went small. I applaud the players. I totally think this was a coaching issue. Thank you, guys.
All right, we appreciate it. Yeah, I know he went small, but it's a balancing act right now for Steve Kerr because he's got to keep GP2 in the game because of his on-ball defense. Now, I know he got cooked at times, especially in that second half by Anthony Edwards. But he's got to lean in. And one of the reasons why you saw Kevon Looney was doing a good job on the glass, and he was also a good matchup at times with Gobert, and he was working it. And Kevon Looney was having an impact in terms of rim protecting. And again, the Warriors have been so – it's been so one-sided in terms of offensive and defensive rebounds. And the one thing that Kevon Looney is able to do, especially in the postseason, is give you second and third – shot opportunities, and that's something that's been absolutely absent for the Golden State Warriors. And I understand Trayce Jackson-Davis gives you that athleticism, and I think Trayce Jackson-Davis, maybe he does play some more. I think it's a positive step in that he supplanted one Quinton Post. All right, we'll continue with your phone calls. We got to get to a break. Chris and the rest of you guys, hang in there. We'll be back after the Golden State Warriors lose 102-97 to fall 2-1 behind on the best of 7 series. We continue on Warriors wrap up after this quick timeout.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to Butler on the right wing. Butler working on Gobert. Gets a screen. Drives around. DiVincenzo, a dunk, it coming down the right baseline.
Well, I know DiVincenzo expected Rudy Gobert to be back there, and he wasn't. Butler took advantage of it.
Now back to Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 The Game.
In that second quarter, Jimmy Butler just started salivating with Gobert out of the game and going right to work at the former Golden State Warrior, the former New York Knicks. Shout out Villanova. But DiVincenzo, no match for Jimmy Butler, who finished with 33 points and 43 minutes of work tonight. He had 7 rebounds and 7 assists as well. Somebody, they mentioned this, on, I believe it was Tim Roy, on the broadcast, that the Warriors are trying to challenge Rudy Gobert too much, and I agree with that. I think that, which is why, and I want to get to Chris's call out in Concord, because I see he wants to talk about Pajemski. I don't know whether he has good or bad things to say about Pajemski, but one of the things that Pods was able to exhibit throughout the regular season was that runner, or at least a mid-range, and I just believe that's there. Because the T-Wolves can extend on you, and they'll run you off the three-point line, but there is that mid-range that I think is available to the Warriors. If you get too deep, much like that at Houston, you're dealing with Steven Adams. If you get too deep against the T-Wolves, you got Rudy Gobert, and he's a 4-time DPOY for a reason. I know people give him a lot of grief, but he alters shots. If it's not blocking a shot, he's changing shots. And it's a lose-lose when you want to challenge the Stifle Tower. Chris in Concord wants to talk about the second-year player out of Santa Clara, Mr. Pajemski. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, you know, all love for the Bay. We like Pajemski all in all, but these playoffs, he has shrunk. Going 1 of 10 tonight from the floor. I mean, if you're shooting 11% from the floor, I mean, that's not going to get the job done. And then you're putting in 39 minutes. I mean, even if he had gone 33% from the field, I'm sure we would have had a better chance than we had tonight. So I'm just kind of wondering, like, we get the rebounds with 8 rebounds. He assists and everything like that. But we need more offense, and we're not getting it from him. You watch him in warmups. He doesn't have his shot. He's short. He's long. And there's something going on, and you saw it today. You saw the body language, and it's just like, and I get it, he's a young player, but he's too much inside of his own head right now. And it's really showing. And honestly, I put a lot of weight on him because, you know, we need some offense. So other than that, I'm going to blame Scott Foster. Thanks for the call, guys.
He's an easy target, right? Where's Chris Paul when you need him? Yeah, thanks so much, Chris. Really quick, when it comes to Bajemski, you talk about his body language. I noticed that as well. And you know what it reminded me of? The beginning of the season. Remember when he couldn't throw it into the ocean? He was shooting like 20% after like a month and a half from three. He was so ineffective offensively in the beginning of the year. It looks like that Bajemski has returned as far as the body language, in terms of being dejected and thinking about the shot. And so you just, because you don't have, you obviously don't have an extended period of time like the regular season provided for Bajemski to shoot his way out of it. He's got to find a solution sooner rather than later. And by the way, when we're talking about Bajemski, it's not only, it's a combination of Bajemski not shooting well, but you also have to take this into account. Now that Steph has been removed from the equation, now you're thinking about, for a good defensive team and a long defensive team like that of Minnesota, they're saying to themselves, okay, well, now that Steph's gone, well, who is their second best shooter? Who's their second best player in the starting unit? Because that's who's going to get our defensive effort. And now it's, you know, Julius Randle, there's Jaden McDaniels or Naz Reid. They're all focused on Brandon Bajemski. And that's what happens as a result of losing Steph Curry, is that that defensive pressure that would have been allocated to Steph Curry is now going to someone like that of Brandon Bajemski. And Bajemski can't shake those guys. He's just not good enough at this point in his career. E. Salim in Chicago, the Windy City, wants to talk about the Warriors' loss tonight. What's up, E?
Man, thanks for having me first and foremost. And I just want to say great game first and foremost. I mean, a lot of people had us counting us out because we didn't have Steph. And I will say, I know a lot of people get on Bajemski with the situation that he's been going through. But and he did have 39 minutes, and he was less productive. But he had a couple of floaters that just didn't go through. So I got a lot of faith in him. What I will say is that I'm more about moving forward because I'm more about positive energy. I feel like we had a great game today. We couldn't get it done. Just make a couple of adjustments. I'm looking at the minutes on here, and I'm seeing that Jackson Davis had 11 minutes, and he still has 7 points, 2 rebounds. But at the same time, you know, I feel like you could have got him in a little bit more. Maybe just make a little bit of adjustments because they're a long team, man. Bajemski and Buddy Hill as a combination, I don't think that works. When you have Kuminga out here, which we all know that he's been crucified and now he's back in the lineup now, it's time to go ahead and it's all hands on deck now. Let's go all in. We have to start Kuminga. I don't feel like because he had 30 points off the bench that we need somebody of firepower off the bench. This is not the regular season. It's the playoffs. They have a lot of long individuals on in Minnesota. So I'm just thinking my suggestion is, either Pazinski or Buddy Hill needs to be on the bench, preferably Pazinski, because I feel like that will put a spark in this system to where, okay, I'm on the bench now. Maybe he might catch his shot. I'm not saying that don't play him at all, like normally how Kerr does, but limit his minutes a little bit. Give him 30 minutes instead of 39 minutes. Now that 9 minutes can go to other individuals, and I think that we can get this victory in game four with a longer lineup out there, especially because Bajemski is not the point guard. It's not like he's somebody that's facilitating and things of that nature, and everybody on our team has great defense anyway. So, you know, since he's the person that's not doing the best as far as what's going on right now, bench him, you know, and he could be the sixth man off the bench now. He comes in with the second unit. Maybe that might open it up for the Warriors to get this W in game four. And that's just my take. I don't want to go into details of what happened with Jimmy Butler and everything. We had a great game. To me, personally, we can beat these guys. We was there with 6 minutes left. It's just about let's manage the situation. And last but not least, I'll say instead of starting Jackson Davis, let's go ahead and start Moody. He's the veteran. He's been there. He won a championship. So here's my starting lineup, and now I'll end it. I'm going to say Buddy Hill, Jimmy Butler, Jackson Kuminga, Draymond Green, and Looney. And then we just go and let's get this W.
Thank you, E. Before we get, we'll get right back out to the phone line to see the pastor, Leo, and the rest of the callers. Hang on for a second. But let's hear from the head coach, Steve Kerr, just moments ago.
What did you see happening there down the stretch? That was it maybe a case of your guys wearing out a little bit after playing so hard for so long?
Felt like a couple of offensive rebounds for them turned into threes. I think Edwards had one out of the corner. Reed, there was a big sequence where, Jimmy had a shot at the rim. Looked like he was going to convert it. Looked like he might have gotten fouled. But, and then they went the other way, got an offensive board, and Reed hit the three from the corner. I thought that was the sequence that really shifted the game and the momentum. So 13 offensive boards for them, 26 points. That was a big factor in the fourth.
Raymond's six fouls obviously played a major factor. And, I think two of them were challenged, one by you, one by them, and then obviously the 6-1 late. What did you see there? And just what did you think of his game overall?
Yeah, we felt pretty strongly that the one on the, I think it was his fourth on the block, they called the block. It looked like Randall went through his chest. And so we felt pretty good about challenging it. Plus it was his fourth. But obviously it didn't, we didn't get the call. And, that's part of the game. But Randall was great. And, the foul trouble and the 6-1 was a tough one. That's that didn't feel great looking at the replay. But it is what it is. And, they outplayed us in the fourth, and they deserved to win.
How would you describe Jimmy Butler's play tonight? He said if he needs to go score 40, he might be able to do it. Did you see him carrying an extra load in this and what was that watching?
Jimmy was incredible. I mean, he really controlled the game for us and, put us in a position to win, and we just couldn't close it out. But he was brilliant all night.
Did J.K. figure something out last game? Obviously, tonight he's got 30 points.
I'm sorry?
Jonathan Kuminga, just what do you think of his performance tonight?
Oh, he was brilliant. J.K. Played one of the best games of his life. It was fantastic to see. And you can see how necessary he is in this matchup, especially without Steph. We're having a tough time getting free. And, he's obviously capable of, giving us some points, getting to the rim. And I thought he was fantastic. I've said it a couple times to you guys. I've just been impressed with the way he's handled things the last couple weeks, with the way he's stayed ready and put in the work, and it paid off tonight.
Yeah, I feel good for Jonathan Kuminga. Don't feel good for the Warriors and Dub Nation after the loss, obviously, but there's a little redemption here for Jonathan Kuminga. And for all the haters out there that were on Jonathan Kuminga, this is a guy that wasn't smart enough, or this isn't a guy who could play at this level, couldn't play with Jimmy Butler. Well, take that. Who cares how he arrived at this moment? He's showing that he can play with just about anybody. And as Steve Kerr mentioned, that you need somebody who can attack the rim, who could put pressure on the rim, who can get their own. Somebody other than Butler who can actually go ISO. You need an athlete on this basketball team. And he's been there under your nose this whole time. I'm happy for the young man. And you're right, it's all part of the maturation process because, he's kept the right attitude. There's a lot of opportunity for him right now to see, I told you so. But no, he's been available, and he got his opportunity, and he's taken full advantage. And right now, hell, if I'm Kuminga, I'm certainly, I want to win and get to the Western Conference Finals, but I'm also thinking about the bag. For anybody else out there in the NBA that doesn't think that I can go, yeah, I'm a restricted free agent. And my agent's phone number is, I'll give it to you if you want to give me an offer. The pastor's hanging out in Oakland. Let's get to the pastor.
Hey, good morning. Good afternoon. How you doing?
Where the hell are you? It's morning.
All right. Good evening. Good evening. Thinking about tomorrow. Listen, I'm excited about your show. Thank you. Thank you for having me on. You're right. I agree. We should be reminded of Jalen Hurts. His experience at Alabama. Look what happened for him. So Kuminga should stay focused. Two, the Warriors have a young bench, everybody. That did well in the first series. They did well tonight. They are playing the team that went to the Western Conference Finals and the team that has the player that the NBA wants to be the face. He is shaking in his boots. He's scared. And when the Warriors don't play him tough and hard and make him earn his points or whatever, we make him look better. Three, the Warriors won. Moody. The Warriors won with Moody, you all. So, you know, anybody can stink it up in 3 minutes. You know, look at what Draymond has done. Look at the era Steph has made, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and Steph is supporting. He's a great leader. But the Warriors' young team is doing better. They can win. They can beat the Timberwolves. They know that. JK has championship experience. Moody has championship experience. You can't just the Warriors can't do like the teams of old when they traded their great young players to the Boston Celtics. We made the Celtics great, all right? Jimmy Butler just ran out of gas. If you play that many minutes, you're going to be tired. You're going to make some mistakes, those things that happen. But Jimmy Butler has been great, and any player, no matter who he is, going to make some mistakes. Draymond has to – his tongue is good and sweet. It's bitter and sweet. His tongue helps the team. His tongue can hurt the team. But he's got to be the leader. And someone said earlier, he's got to lead this team to victory without Steph. That's what leaders do. They step up and make it happen. And here's another thing we got to look at. The coaches have to – they have all those coaches. They have to coach during these games so that we can win. In the end, it's small adjustments that the coaching staff – should be paying attention to, should be doing so that we can win these games, because it was a mistake here or there, adjustment here or there, and the Warriors would have won this game. Another thing I think they made a mistake on, they didn't stick to the defensive game. Hey, if you got a guy that you have been harassing him, making it hard, stick with that defensive analogy. Let the other guys beat you. If you lose to the other players, not letting a player like Ant-Man get 36 points like he did.
I think you just got to tip your hat to Ant-Man. A lot of that defense, there was a play where Pajemski could not have defended him any better on a wing deep three, and he went straight cotton. He nailed it. There's a reason why Ant-Man is considered a rising, if not already a guy who's arrived as clearly one of the best players in the NBA. And as far as, I'm not worried about Draymond's tongue. I'm more worried about those flailing arms that have a tendency to just land on an opposing player's dome, or his, I'm worried about not his tongue, but his foot that's kicking dudes in the junk. Leo's in San Francisco. Let's talk about JK. What's up, Leo?
Hey, how you doing?
Well, thanks.
Well, I think somebody touched on this earlier. I guess Jonathan put to rest the fact that he can't play with Butler, right? So can we put that to bed? In fact, I think Jimmy said the other night after the game that he can play with anybody, so evidently he doesn't agree with Kerr. I'll just say one more thing about that, and then I'll talk about something else. I really do think there's some leftovers from Kuminga going public last year about his role and not sure what the heck Kerr wanted from him. It's almost human nature, I think, for Kerr maybe not to be totally obviously happy with that and hanging some to that, maybe a little bit bitterness about it. But I can't see how, you know, in the past, Kuminga's been pulled out for making mistakes. And you got Pajemski, who I like, you know, basically wasn't playing well tonight. He's getting almost 40 minutes in the game. I'm not too upset right now that Kuminga's not starting. But I really do believe he needs to see, a few more minutes, or especially early on. I think he was out for the first 5 or 6 minutes of beginning of the game, same at halftime. Basically, he was the only one that really could put some defense on Ant tonight. There was a couple times that Ant was driving, got into the paint, but, Jonathan was on him, and, he had no choice but to kick the ball out because Jonathan was playing really good defense on him, was just really bodying him up. So I want to see more of that, him going defensively on Ant. And then the other thing, I do think Moody's got to play a little more. I know he hasn't been shooting well. He plays good defense. I wouldn't mind seeing Moody moving out to guard a little bit, playing that guard position. They got to keep, obviously, a shooter out there, set him up with Hield out there at the other guard position, because he does play defense regardless of whether or not he's hitting shots. Maybe give Pajemski a little bit more rest and kind of get himself settled down a little bit. But I don't know why they're playing post. That was a waste of 3 minutes. And Gary Payton, I love him and his effort, but he's not giving much of anything, and that was just shooting over him. So maybe we play a little more Jackson Davis, a little more Kuminga on Ant, and give Moody a chance, you know, at that other guard position, and we'll go from there and see what happens.
Thanks, Leo. Yeah, there's a lot of love for, and there always is. I know Moses Moody is a guy that just keeps his nose clean, stays under the wire. You're not going to hear a lot from Moses Moody. And I think a lot of people respect this guy. There's a lot of Moody support. And I like Moses Moody. How can you not? But I'm not exactly sure. Am I watching a different series than everybody else? I don't see any reason why Moses Moody, especially when you got your backs to the wall, you have no Steph, there is no tomorrow, why Moses Moody, you would give him an extended leash right now. If you didn't play Jonathan Kuminga, your third leading scorer in the series prior to this against Houston, and even sort of slow, it was an act of desperation as to why he's getting run right now, right? You have no Steph. If Steph was available, Jonathan Kuminga is still not playing. If Jonathan Kuminga is so quick to get into that doghouse and never see the floor, then why is it that Moody, who is not, even on the defensive end, he has not been good, and offensively, he clearly looks, and this happens to younger players, like he's just not ready for basketball at this level. And he's not even looking at the rim, and he's not contributing. I don't mean to go after Moses Moody, because we all like the young man. But in terms of the here and now, and you need points, and they're at a premium, you haven't scored more than 100 points in this entire series, and it's not even close with Moody. Let's get out to Shardal in Fremont. Shardal, what's on your mind, buddy?
Hi, Dan. I'm a big fan of you, and I was calling to 95.7 a game every night. This was a tough loss for the Golden State Warriors as they fall to the Minnesota Timberwolves by a final score of 102-97 game three of the second round of the 2025 NBA playoffs as Minnesota takes a 2-1 series lead. I'll be at the Game 4 watch party in Thrive City outside Chase Center with my friend. And thanks for having me on, and I'll definitely call into Warriors wrap-up next time, and I hope you have a great rest of your night.
Shardell, we'll look forward to the call. Don't forget to check in with us afterwards. As the Golden State Warriors now, you got the quick turnaround Monday night. It's going to be Game 4, and you can't lose that. It's a must-win. I know people say, well, it's a must. It's a must win when you're facing elimination. The hell with that. This is a must win. My interpretation of the word must might be different than yours. That is a must win. You can't go down 3-1 and have things shifting to Minnesota. Although I do think you can beat Minnesota at Minnesota, and I think you can beat Minnesota coming up on Monday. The question now just simply becomes, who else aside from Butler and now Jonathan Kuminga? And I don't know that you're going to get that sort of effort from Jimmy Butler. I think that might have been the game. We talk about stealing one, splitting at home. I think Jimmy Butler just laid it out for you, and they came up short. Listen, we've taken calls for the last hour. I know we want to point a finger, whether it's at Kerr for being slow to the party, recognizing Jonathan Kuminga, the ineptitude of Moody and Podziemski, Draymond Green fouling out, that can't happen. Certainly, if you're one of the leaders, you got to be on the floor with no Steph. But I just think that there's just the cupboard's bare. You don't have enough. You just simply don't have enough firepower to match a Minnesota team, albeit a good team, but certainly beatable. If Steph Curry, let's just play this game for a second. If Steph Curry is not injured, someone please try and tell me or just demonstrate. I'll give you an opportunity to prove your case that the Warriors are not leading this series 2-1, if not 3-0. This is a team that is not, they will turn the ball over and they will not execute, and there will be lapses not only throughout a quarter, but there'll be games, there'll be an entire series. This team has a tendency, and this isn't relegated to just the Golden State Warriors and the semifinals of the Western Conference. This has sort of been their personality for a little while now, that they will play up to and or down to the level of competition. And so the Golden State Warriors, I think, because Minnesota will give you an opportunity, has a chance to get that one game. And if you're a firm believer that, hey, listen, we just need the one game because a week from tomorrow, Steph Curry could rejoin this team. There was a moment. Did I not see the ball roll towards the Warriors bench and Steph actually picked it up and dribbled it behind his back? Hey, I'll take anything at this point. I could have sworn he was actually had the ball in his hands. Because if you were to listen to Steph Curry and sort of read between the lines, I actually believe Steph Curry is sort of resigned to the fact that I'm not going to play in this series. But I don't think it's going to be, listen, it's an uphill battle. You're going to be an underdog. Your chances of winning the series, I think, are slim. It's going to be very, very difficult to advance. But I still think there's an opportunity. And if you ever listen to me, you ever listen to the show, listen, I will hammer the Warriors, and if I think they have no shot, I'll be the first in line to raise.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
My hand and say, this ain't happening. But there's something about Minnesota, and there's something about that ensemble of players, including Rudy Gobert, that the Warriors will have an opportunity here. The only thing I think you have to concern yourself was that it? Was it tonight? Did you just get the best performance from that of Jimmy Butler and Jonathan Kuminga and you didn't win? Can Jimmy Butler, can he give you 30 plus again? Can he, you know, come close to 40 points again? Can you get 30 out of Jonathan Kuminga again? I don't know. I mean, he's an older basketball player, so you're asking a lot. At some point, Moses Moody, if he continues to play, Quentin Post, GP2, Brandon Podziemski, they have got to give you something. We talk about strength and numbers, just 10 to 12 points. Buddy Hield, you know, had 14 in the contest, and Buddy Hield was, listen, if you got well-balanced scoring, Buddy Hield did enough. But you cannot expect this much out of Jimmy Butler for him to ISO and to get to the hole and be the guy that he was tonight and then expect Jonathan Kuminga, who's still, you know, dealing with some rust here, to give you 30-plus points every time out against the T-Wolves. Listen, if you get 20 from Kuminga and if you get another 20-burger from that of Jimmy Butler, that should be good enough to win. If you're getting contributions from your role players. But right now, it's absolutely the middle of a donut when it comes to Podziemski and company. All right, we're going to leave it for there. We will be right back after the course on Monday. You know the drill. It begins with a morning roast. We'll have you covered throughout the entire day, including with the pregame show, Grandy. We'll have Warriors Live. And then, of course, the postgame show with the Warriors wrap-up as he'll detail everything that goes down in a pivotal game four with the Warriors now trailing in the series 2-1. Once again, they lose it tonight to the Minnesota Timberwolves with a final score of 102-97 as Golden State now falls 2-1 in the best of seven series. For my man, Mark Grandy, for Chris, who is cutting sound on the back, this is Dan Devone. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining, and we'll see you next time right here on 95.7 The Game.
Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Povich. On my podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, I'm going to sit down with the icons, the stars, and the faces at the very center of today's big cultural moments. With everyone from comedians Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, Leanne Morgan, to newsmakers Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Aaron Parnas, and so many more. So join me for new episodes every week because nothing is off limits. Great conversations. They're always on par. Follow and listen to On Par with Maury Povich wherever you get your podcasts.